You're listening to the Business of Pharmacy podcast with me, your host, Mike Kelzer. Well, hello, guys.
Hey, Mike.
Mark and Owen, for the people who haven't come across you online, each of you introduce yourself individually and then tell us why we're talking tonight.
I'm Owen Bondurant. I'm one of the founders and partners of Independent RX Consulting.
And my name is Mark Nelson. I'm a partner with Independent RX Consulting. And, you know, we're really excited to be here on a podcast called The Business of Pharmacy, because that is literally what we do. So we have a consulting firm, and we try to help pharmacies be more successful.
Years ago, people would always call the pharmacy and they'd say, we're consultants and we're going to come in and we're going to teach you how to run your business better. And I look, and they've been to veterinarians and they go to roller skating shops. My dad and I would get frustrated because you're like, no, you're not. You know, you're not going to help me. You're not going to come in and help me. I just know, because you're going to come in and say, cut your costs, buy low, sell high, all that kind of stuff. You guys, though, I'm reading your stuff and it's like 20 pharmacies, 30 pharmacies you do. Some of you are pharmacists and some of you are accountants and this and that and come from IT. And I thought, now, wait a minute. This place finally has some teeth. So what kind of teeth do you have?
Yeah, we've helped over 100 people start or buy pharmacies. We have numerous clients that use our ongoing services. So we provide data analytics, accounting with consulting, which is a totally different approach from anything that you typically see out there. And this year, it's going really well. So that's kind of why we got the teeth, and the teeth are helping us in that. But you know, we've grown over 100% this year. By end of year, we're slated to increase that by another 30%. So you know, the industry's changing. COVID's obviously affected that, and people have a lot more questions.
Mike, to your point, you know, you get consultants calling you to, you know, they're one day they're at a roller skating rink, and the next day they're at a pharmacy. I think one of the big differences that we have is my family and my partner's family, Tim, we own pharmacies now. We actually own them and operate them today. And we've owned, you know, 16 at one time. We had another time when we owned 10. We've done retail. We've done compounding, long-term care. So the things that we're teaching people are things we've tested in the store that, you know, have worked and things that have not worked.
Yeah, things that haven't gone well, too, are just as valuable.
Oh, if not more valuable, because we can tell people, you know what, we tried that, and here's exactly why it didn't work.
Over the last 10 years, I've worked with hundreds of consultants, and I was laughing as you were saying that, because that's the same thing I was thinking in my head. And you know, anybody can come into your pharmacy and, like you said, tell you, you got to do a sync program. You need to be doing MTM. You need to be doing clinical. But we use your data to actually drive real consulting and help you implement those things, not just tell you you need to do that. Anybody who's gone to a trade show in the last 5 years probably knows they should be doing that. People need help actually getting started and kind of getting that momentum moving.
We've had just lovely, friendly accountants. And what I found, though, in the last year, I'm spending more time trying to teach them about DIRs and rebates and things like that. And then once you tell them, they don't believe you. You know, they don't believe. It's like they've never seen that. It's like, all right, you paid for this. And now, but now where does this go? And it's like, well, no, that doesn't go anywhere because it's not there. In fact, we've got to take more of it away after 7 months. I've told my accountants that it's almost unfair to them. Like, I don't know why they'd want me as a customer, because the learning curve has got to be 10 times what they have for a non-pharmacy customer, it seems. And then they say, we see a lot of different stuff. It's like, no, I don't think you've seen this before.
It's just a different ballgame. And like you said, typical accountants don't understand it.
Yeah, it's funny, Mike, when we get new customers, especially when they're using a local CPA, we'll call them up and say, hey, they're switching their accounting to us. And a common reaction is, thank God.
You sometimes will do the dirty work of calling the accountants.
Yeah, it's pretty common in the accounting world because we've got to get their files and QuickBook files. And, you know, we need historicals to do our job correctly. But, you know, pharmacy is a little bit unique. It has rebates and DIR fees. And, you know, revenue, for example, can be affected in all kinds of ways. Your payer reimbursement can change. A product or a drug can go generic. The accountants can go, hey, your sales went down, but they don't know why.
Right.
And they can't tell you, here's what's happened and here's what you should do to adjust that. Because in their heads, they're not going, oh, you've done the exact same amount of volume, but your sales went down by $500,000.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. They don't see that in other places.
Right.
And actually, your margin may not have changed.
Yeah.
Because of the mix or how you're buying things. So it's very confusing. And you really need to understand the business to be able to provide advice. And, you know, we think accounting is just, you got to do your accounting properly. But it is just a data point to allow you to make decisions. It's one of several data points that you need to get.
And that's why I was interested in talking to you guys, because on your website, maybe there's others out there, but it seemed unique to me that let's say that even if your accountant starts to understand what you're talking about, then you've got to have this baton handoff of reports. And a report then has, let's say a report's got 10 columns on average, you know, and every column is titled a little bit differently. And you only fit so many words on the top of a column. And before you know it, 3 months later, you're talking to the accountant and they said, oh, well, you know, hopefully their words are standard, but it's like they're saying, oh, I thought that was a percentage of, you know, this. You're telling me it's a percentage of this. Well, that changes things. Now, you guys are actually in the computers of your clients. Is that right?
Yeah, we do. You know, so part of the consulting portion of what we do is using the numbers to drive sound consulting, is what I like to call it. We log in and show people how to put their DIR fees in correctly. You know, there's still today a lot of people who don't know what DIR fees are or why they get them. You know, they just move them through. So we help educate them, and we definitely log in, set that stuff up, everything from DIR fees to the clinical portion, teaching someone how to do a sync program. You know, people who have been to the workshops, they've been to trade shows, they've watched, you know, digital. They're at the point where they want somebody come and set it up for me. Just show me how to find the correct people and help me get two or three people on it. And, you know, then they're off to the races. And so that's one of my favorite things is doing that, because you see the light bulbs go off.
I'm a three-time failure of sync.
Oh, you're not alone.
No.
No, you're not.
My son, who's in the business, said, Dad, if I didn't know better, I'd think these people are trying to sabotage us. He said, I just talked to this guy yesterday. I said I'd see him in 2 weeks or something like that. And he came in the next day with four questions wanting something filled. Back on the question of getting into computers, do you guys have any back-end deals with vendors, or are you using the same password that the pharmacy is using? Like, for example, if you're getting into the databases, or you're getting into their computer program, or you're getting into, I don't know, whatever, what else it would be, you know, counting machines or whatever. Do you guys have special, like, IT, like, sneaky, I'm joking, but like sneaky stuff, or are you guys just saying, hey, give me your password and we'll check it out?
Mike, you're right. We are getting data from the pharmacy systems, because I think I mentioned earlier that the accounting is only half the picture, right? So if my revenue is going down, we need to know why.
Mm-hmm.
If your margin is slipping, why? And that could be many reasons. It's not as simple as, oh, you started buying poorly or the PBM reimbursement is worse. It could be all kinds of things. You're not billing things right. you know, you missed out on DURs or something. Like, it could be all kind. You've got your quantities in wrong. So we've got to go into the system and make sure that and look at the data. So we are pulling from the pharmacy system things like prescription counts, gross profit per prescription, prescriptions by payer, your top drug reports, and we're putting that into a dashboard that all of our clients have access to that's available on the phone or on a website. And then we consolidate that with the financial data so that we can start looking at what is causing the results of your financials, good or bad. And we do that. I mean, with some systems, the client just signs a waiver and the pharmacy system provides us the data directly. In other systems, we don't have that set up. So we are logging in, you know, in the evening or in off hours and pulling that data. Now, they'll set up our own like login as if we were a technician or something. And we can't like do anything in the system other than pull data for the most part. But it allows us to get a full picture because I've got to know, like if someone comes to me and says, well, is my payroll too high? Well, how many prescriptions are you filling?
Right.
I mean, you can't just go, hey, you know, your payroll should be 10% of sales. Well, I need to know what your brand and generic mix is. How many prescriptions you're filling? How many compounds are you doing? Like, we've got to have some context because a compound's a lot harder to fill than, you know, 30 pills put in a bottle.
Is your guys' ability to go into a system, does that give you more than just efficiencies of time? Here's what I'm thinking. You know how sometimes, like, you're maybe working on something, all of a sudden you can't find electrical tape. And like electrical tape is like in the same group as like fingernail clippers. You never know where the hell it is. You've seen it somewhere, but you don't know where the hell it is. So I carry my little purse, I call it, but I've got electrical tape in there and I got fingernail clippers in there, you know, and I refuse to go anywhere without my electrical tape, but I'm wiser now. But years ago, you would say, where the hell is the electrical tape? I saw it somewhere. But in my mind, your guys being able to go into the system, you're not waiting for the pharmacist the next day to ask him, show us the report of your this, because we think there might be something there. What you guys are able to do is you're able to be in the system and you have a suspicion of something and you say, I know figuratively where the electrical tape is. I'm going to go way over to this report that would take a few hours to probably get the next day from whoever I have to teach to give it to us. You're able to go there, get the electrical tape, come back, clip it, do this, do that. Is that part of it, that efficiency where you can fly around it with, what would you call it? Like not the seat of your pants, but more like instinct. Instinctual almost, right?
Yes, absolutely. So the challenge is for a pharmacy today, you know, you're doing 20 more things than you did 5 years ago. Want to pay you less to do it and reimbursements aren't, you know, the same. Yeah, our fees, like we mentioned earlier, you know, you don't have the time to do that. And one of the challenges is that, you know, a lot of the pharmacists, you know, they don't know how to get all those reports or it's a combination of 8 reports that they would then have to aggregate. And so we take that work out of the process for them. You know, it's fantastic when the pharmacy system can provide us that in a data feed. I mean, that's efficiency. Some of them, it's, you know, a more labor intensive manual process, but that's a service that we provide to make sure that we've reviewed those details and we know what to look at. And also try to help educate the pharmacist too, because I want you to know how to do it and how to understand it. But you know, telling you got to take 2 hours out of your day, you know, a couple times a week to go pull these things for me, it's not efficient at all.
And this is kind of a technical question, but when you guys go into a system, you're not just able to copy and paste into your spreadsheet. You probably have some things that will automatically throw stuff in there. You're not looking at it. It's just happening, right?
We'll pull down the report and it dumps into a preset group of files, basically. So we use Amazon Warehouse to, you know, store this stuff. When we pull it down from each system, we know what we need to get.
Yeah.
And it drops it in and eliminates the things that we don't need and that we're using. And then it redisplays it into a program so that, because the problem is, you know, if you look at a pharmacy, they're doing 60, 70,000 transactions, right? And that doesn't account reversals and, you know, so there, any pharmacy may have 100,000 transactions that are coming through and the rows are just endless. So we need to consolidate that down, and we're taking that data and putting it into a platform that allows you to see trends and easily read that data. Because again, you know, as a pharmacy owner, you've got to work the bench, watch your inventory, manage employees. A lot of community pharmacists are out there going to funerals and, I mean, all kinds of stuff, right? You don't have enough time to not only pull that data, but also then consolidate it down and get it into a view that allows you to actually make any sense of it. And so we're taking that off your hands, which does two things for us. To your point, Mike, we actually tried to do a consulting without data and just tried to do business coaching. It didn't work because people would then ask us, well, what about this? And we'd be like, well, send us these 14 reports. So we just said, you know what? We're going to get this all the time so that we can be proactive and tell you what's going on and then teach you, the owner, how to read these reports and start spotting trends. So when I see something, not only am I going to tell you what's going on, I'm going to go, this is what I saw. So the next time you see it on your own and you can become a more effective business owner making better decisions.
Do any of these computer companies, are they like sons of bitches where they don't want you to get in and do stuff? Any of them like say, no, you're not doing this because maybe we're trying to offer something, or are they all fairly cooperative?
They're great, actually. It makes their system better because here's what ends up happening, Mike, is we'll go in there, we'll see that maybe someone's entering data wrong or they don't have their EDI feed set up correctly. So they're getting bad data. Well, now we can get it corrected. We can work with the pharmacy system to get that data. Now the people are more satisfied with the pharmacy system.
I see.
Because it's kicking out information that they actually can use. Or let's say your MedSync, coming back to what you said about MedSync, Mike. I mean,
you say my MedSync. Let's let the record show. I don't have one right now. I'm an utter failure.
The common problem there is the technology's there. The systems have the ability for you to do MedSync, but we're going to teach you the operational side. So now suddenly you're using your technology more effective, making you stickier to the technology.
And I think too that, you know, coming from that space, it relieves some of the burden for support. Because if I had to ask you to find the reports for me and you didn't know how, you're calling support, creating a ticket, and then somebody else is working on it. So, you know, generally the reaction has been fantastic because, okay, awesome. Y'all are going to take this off our hands. They've called us 100 times about it. So it works well.
How many different systems do you come across with your customers so far?
It's what, 6, 7? I mean, once you get the main ones, you know, you kind of run out of. And the QS1, Pioneer, RX30, Computer RX, Enterprise, Liberty's become fairly prevalent now. So once you get through those, I mean, that's you're covering 90% of pharmacies.
Oh, and you were talking about teaching people to read some of this stuff. And you had mentioned your dashboard. We use this program called Monday.com at our pharmacy that, you know, you can put different columns and do different things. I imagine your dashboard is something like that where you can bring in, what do they call them? Like, you know, you build your dashboard and so on. And you're saying that you'll teach your customers to view that dashboard and you can do it more easily because you're saying, look, Sally, for the 10th time, I'm telling you, you don't have to look at these last 40 columns on this report. You guys have done that for them.
Correct.
By not putting those columns on there. It sounds like it'd be easier to learn, but also easier to remember. So then the next month, you're not saying, oh, damn, I got to print these out again. I got to remember what columns to delete, what columns to leave in. I got to remember what this means. I got to remember how to do the summation and all that kind of stuff. You guys have done that. So then the next month, you're almost building on something that's pretty easy to see the first time.
And, you know, Mike, like me coming in, I'm not an accountant. And so I'm probably a pretty good example of our average customer in a lot of ways because I haven't had to look at that data for that purpose. And the first time I saw the dashboard, it just makes sense. I could pull it up on my iPhone, scroll through it, and feel better about, okay, everything's all right. And you're not running reports and you can, you know, have that work-life balance too. So it's extremely easy to read.
Pharmacy owners, they're not stupid. They have been running these businesses, right?
Let's talk a little bit more, Owen, and then you can make up your mind on that.
The issue is getting that data that you can make sense of it. Again, I mean, there's so much of it, right? And also, here's the problem with pharmacy data. You know, if you have 5 Mondays in a month,
yeah,
suddenly it's not comparable to the previous month or the year before.
Oh, yeah.
So getting consistent, you know, data that can show you trends. And if you pull 6 months worth of RX data, I mean, can you really tell if it's gone up or down or, you know, so we put it into graphs so that you can see the trending. Is it up? Is it down? You know, I want to look at brand, generic, new versus refill, you know, things like that to see where, you know, if my script count is down, is it in new prescriptions? Is it in refills? Is it my brand? Is it my generic? Is it my retail or my long-term care? Where is it coming from? And so they need basic stuff because you've got to identify what's happening in order to actually spend time on it. Owners are just spending more time trying to figure out what should I be doing than actually doing.
For our listeners, typically you're paying maybe every 2 weeks of payroll. And so one of the months, I think you finally have 3 payrolls in the month. And then you're like, oh, okay, this is a month where we had 3 payrolls. But then look, it ended on a Thursday and we didn't get the wholesaler checks until Friday. So step down off the edge of the building. There's no need to jump this month. Here was the reason, because, you know, it was one of these oddballs. And that's where your thing is going to balance it out. And people could do that, but you'd have to be entering this stuff into your own database and then getting the average and then all that kind of stuff. And that's just not happening.
And you don't have the time for that.
That's something someone else can do for you. You know what I can't do for you? Build relationships in the community. I can't do that. And guess what? You're a community pharmacy owner, that's what you're good at. So go do it. Let others do the stuff that you don't need to do.
Well, I've always said that right now I'm working a lot more in the pharmacy. 4 or 5 years ago, my theory was always that the owner is the guy that's making a few important long-term decisions longer than the month or two that we're talking about here. And they're also out giving Mrs. Smith a little peck on the cheek when she turns 80 and giving her a box of candy or something. And that's really the two roles that they play, and everybody else in theory is wearing that different hat.
And not just with the community, with the physicians, with everybody. You know, you are the face of the pharmacy.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people have problems with their accountant, especially now with the DIR fees and that stuff. And it's always like, I don't know. It's kind of like playing golf with my brother. I suck at golf. But when I play with my brother, you know, when he looks up in the sky and he starts going back and forth with his pinky and his thumb, counting his strokes, you know he's shaving a couple of those off because that's the same trick that I do. And the reason I bring that up about the golf score, it seems like our accounting, especially in the old days of not knowing your inventory so well, but not knowing when the checks were going to show up and now DIRs and all that kind of stuff, it seems like I'm never able to hold like a report in my hand and say, this is pretty good. You know, this doesn't have that 8% fluctuation. Well, maybe it's this because of this, and maybe it's that because of that. And I suppose that's a lot where the average of the months, too, would help.
Yeah, and we see that a lot, Mike. People don't trust the data that they're pulling. They don't have something they can go to and go, yeah, this makes sense, and this allows me to make a concrete decision. And I'll tell you, you know, where this came from is we have an interesting team. You know, my dad and my partner Tim, they're both pharmacy owners, but they had the luxury because they had so many stores of working on the business all the time. And then they happened to hire a CPA who's a partner in our firm, and he bought into the pharmacies. So we have this unique thing where we have a CPA who's owned pharmacies, And so we started combining, and at the time, this was in Excel, we would pull operational reports and financial reports and started combining. My dad and the CPA did. And so you have this pharmacist pulling, hey, I need to know this. And the CPA going, we need to know this. And then it kind of started merging and going, well, these two things really aren't independent of each other. And that started making sense to the CPA and the pharmacist. And really, that's what we're dealing with, right? We need, we've got to be able to present data in a way that a pharmacist or pharmacy owner understands it and can act on it. And that got developed from years of trial and error in our own operation. And we owned pharmacies in multiple states, so we didn't have the luxury of going over and checking it out, right? We needed data that told us, is this pharmacy operating well, yes or no?
You've lived it. And I imagine you've lived it through ups and downs, because a lot of times you're selling and buying stores because you want to and it's fun. And sometimes you're doing it because it's not so fun and you don't want to, but you have to.
Oh, I mean, look at my dad. I mean, he started an independent pharmacy in 1981. I mean, things were cash. Their insurance was not a thing, right? And there was no computer. It was walk in, hand him cash, he handed you some bills. That was the end of the transaction. Then a few years later, we have everything's on QS1. Insurance comes around. Mail order comes a thing. Med D becomes a thing. I mean, we've lived through all this stuff. So it's kind of like when, you know, we hear, oh, PBM pressure. I mean, listen, we've had things coming at us, and every business has this.
I
bring this example up, but look at Apple. I mean, if Apple would have kept selling computers, we would have no Apple. They adapted to the changes in the world.
Probably about 4 or 5 years ago, I was getting pretty burned out. There were some new rules coming out about technicians in Michigan. Mm. I had to train all these people and hire different people and stuff. So I hired some people and kind of to run things for a while I could sit around home, I guess, and work. You know, just get out of the store more. I was around once a week or so, I'd be around, but I came back about 3 or 4 years later, and it's like 30% more of the claims were being rejected, you know, something like that. It was just an amazing change of the hassles that they're trying to put stuff through. You know, you were talking, Owen, about your dad, because I was in the pharmacy, like I graduated in early 90s, so I was doing the computers in the early 90s, and my dad, like your dad, probably had a memory of a elephant. I don't know. Elephants have good memories?
Yes, it is. Yep.
They do. His memories, he's one of these people that can hear a song and then sing it back to you after hearing it one time. I mean, who does that?
They had memories of elephants because they had to. And so I remember one time my dad, you know, we had done like, I don't know, X prescriptions in the first 4 hours of the morning. In his day, he probably did half a X, you know, something like that. So he comes up behind me one time. Mrs. Smith is here. Did you do one for her earlier? And I'm like, well, let me check. I could just feel him breathing down my back. He's like, what do you mean check? I'm like, I want to check. I want to see if I did one for Mrs. Smith. Because we know, just like now, nobody knows phone numbers and stuff. Because once you don't have to use it, you don't use it anymore. You know, let someone else depend on it. And I could tell he was pissed, you know, that I could not remember exactly who I filled during that time, you know. And it's just like, you didn't need it anymore, though. The computers were going to do it for you.
Yeah.
Pharmacy today, like I said, it's just getting more and more difficult. And you hear the golden rule of you got to know your numbers. But it's not just knowing your numbers, it's understanding your numbers and then knowing what you can do with those.
We got stung twice in the last year because about a year ago, I was thinking, I got to maybe sell this place, you know, because I don't see us coming out of these hard times. And so I was pretty close to selling, and the reason I didn't sell is my numbers weren't there yet. You know, I needed a few weeks even to work with my accountant at the time. They weren't firm enough. Everybody agreed they sucked, but nobody just knew how bad they sucked, you know? Another time was months later when I had to renew a line of credit, and that was just not as easy as it should have been from not having the correct numbers, you know? And apparently it's not like the old days where you just say, well, trust me, you know, look, the lights are still on and I still have checks in the checkbook, so everything must be okay, you know? But they want real numbers. And so there's two times I was stung in the last year from not being right on top of things. But what do you feel is like the main stress point that finally says someone, I got to do this? I know there's positive points, you know, but a lot of times we deal with stress, right? We make decisions based on stress.
Typically, it's something to do with cash. You know, they're running low on cash, similar to what you were saying there of, you know, couldn't get a line of credit when they used to be able to. Wholesaler is, you know, threatening to, you know, put them down to daily terms or something like that. The other thing that's out there is, you know, we get a lot of owners calling because they're very... You know, honestly, owning a small business is lonely. I mean, people don't understand, you know, you don't have friends that own other small businesses. Sometimes your spouses don't quite understand. And so you got to be able to go to someone who gets what's going on. And, you know, you go to a bank and a lot of times they're like, wait, pharmacy, small pharmacies, those are still a thing?
Yeah, right.
You haven't even shown them the numbers and it's a problem. And so, you know, being able to go and find someone, I think people go through stresses after stress after stress, whether it's, you know, audits or getting broken into or what you said, not being able to get a line of credit. And when they finally see that we're out there and that they can call even, you know, when they need help, right? And they've got someone who actually knows what they're going through.
Yeah.
That's what we see. And we get a lot of people, too, who are starting or buying a store, Mike. So they're at a point where they've got to pick an accountant.
Gotcha.
And, I mean, I think the good thing that's happening in the industry is that there's a lot more industry-specific services than there used to be, whether that's banks or accountants. You know, so people are a lot less likely to go to the local person. They're searching out people who are experts in their field. You're kind of the typical person who comes to us, right? They're not getting the advice. They've worked with their local person for 2-3 years and nothing's changed.
Yeah.
And it's not that the local person's bad. They just don't know what to do. And, you know, we know where to start. And it, I mean, honestly, when we get these situations, it's typically in three areas. They need to grow revenue. They need to control their inventory and buy better, and they've got to control payroll. That's where you start. I mean, you go to these trade shows and things, and there's all these tips and secrets, and
right. You
got to do this and this. And really, it comes down to three things and doing them properly. Now, those things are a little bit unique within pharmacy.
But once you get those, then I can help you run a successful sync program and teach you how to do all those extra services.
So. We're just picking on you, Mike.
You would never get me to do a sync program.
Now it's a challenge.
Yeah. If I get you guys into the pharmacy, I'll take you up on that. But I think I'm going to bring you down, Mark. I think I'm going to bring you down to my level. I've failed so many times on that.
We're using that just partly because it's funny and partly because that's the buzzword that it's going to solve all issues. And it does do a lot for your pharmacy. It can increase revenue, it can control inventory, and it can lower your payroll. But if you don't have the basics down, it's impossible to implement it.
The foundations have to be correct. And the one thing that, you know, in any of the marketing you see for this, sync is going to actually make your life harder until you get to a certain tipping point and correct. And so once you get to a certain percentage of your customers on sync, you'll walk in, and I've done this, walked into a pharmacy that had done 900 scripts by 1 o'clock, and the staff's just standing around like they didn't do anything because it's all planned out, and you're eliminating the roller coaster of the highs and lows of a day, and you're kind of smoothing it out.
Here's the other thing, Mike, is, you know, people just throw things out like, you got to do this, you got to do that. But what does your data say?
Yeah.
You know, what should you be prioritizing? You see, you as an owner, as a business, can't do 30 things.
Right.
You have to pick the one or two that's going to do the best for you and your family and the staff. And what is that thing? you know, that's the mistake. You know, people just go with the buzzword and start implementing something when, you know, over here is a, their ship is sinking.
There's no crystal ball, but at least knowing a few months down the road of this saving, you know, $10 an hour is a couple $1,000s a year, and it could do this, it could allow that, and that's stuff that I don't have a freaking clue on just because you didn't ever have anything to base it on. So I could see where that stuff would be actually kind of fun.
Yeah, and that's, you know, fun is the best word to describe it, because that's, you know, the bulk of what I get to do is, you know, working with the people in the pharmacy. We've got the foundation down. And then I get to, you know, go through, you know, different workflows per se. And technician says, oh, that saves 10 minutes. Well, if that one step saves 10 minutes and this next step, you know, 10 minutes might not seem like a big deal. But when you add it all up, you now got 3 extra hours to do. Again, the clinical, the things that right now you think I don't have time, I don't have the capacity for. And there are ways to find that.
I think also what happens is that pharmacy owners do things that do only save them $10, and they shouldn't have done it. And so, you know, that's part of our job is to go, okay, yeah, you want to do that, but let's actually look what that's going to do for you in 6 months. And the common one I hear is, you know what, I'm going to change around my front end. And it's like, okay, well, how much more are you going to sell? Well, I don't know. Well, if I sell a whole lot more of this, yeah, right, but that's $5,000 extra. And then you had to stock twice as much of it. So really you're back to zero. Yeah. Okay. So now let's go over to your inventory. Okay. Let's get rid of the dead stock. And so you're going to spend one day and that's going to save you $50,000. I think so many owners do things, they try them and then they don't really see the results and they go, none of that stuff works. And the reason is because they got distracted by the glittery thing that seems fun rather than doing the things that really help them.
Or they've given up something that frankly helps get them through their day, and it's cliche, but the coffee or something, it's a $10 a week habit. So for $500 a year, they can still enjoy something where they're really sacrificing elsewhere, but it just keeps them sane.
Right. And they shouldn't be dropping that thing, and they should be dropping the thing that's going to save them $50,000.
My dad used to come home at night, and he and my mom would go out for like a sandwich or something late at night. And my dad would say that it was cheaper than a psychiatry bill for my mom after being home with the kids all day.
Absolutely. And there's so many things in your business that are exactly the same way. You know, people try to change vial companies and it saves them, you know, $30 throughout the year. And they're like, well, I didn't see a change. And it's like, okay, well, you know, that's because it doesn't make a difference. You know, get the vials that work and that your customers like, you know, and if you don't hear those complaints, that'll make your day a little bit better. Now let's figure out a strategy to call on 2 doctors every month and grow our business. And that's a better use of, you know, your dollars or your time.
And your energy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
If you guys come into a pharmacy that's kind of a crap show, you're not going to change everything overnight. How long do you figure that I know you're always helping a pharmacy, but how long do you figure it takes to kind of like, you know, I imagine the first month is just trying to clean up some figures or find out if they even have the passwords for something they should have passwords to. And
yep.
But then eventually, like, you're probably still shining things up, like, in month 4, 5, 6, 7, and so on, right? I mean, Mark, you don't come in the first day and do sync, especially for someone who's clinically depressed from failing at
three times.
You don't do that right away, right?
Well, I'm asked to do it right away pretty frequently, but
by the customer.
Oh, absolutely. And that's just because, you know, you go to a trade show or you listen to a podcast and you hear the buzzwords of, you know, the same things I mentioned a couple times. And so that's the first thing when they call me and like, I need a sync program. And again, that's, I keep saying sync, but it's been a buzzword.
Whatever.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah. Or anything, clinical, you name it. And it takes a full team. So that's where the rest of our group, you know, gets in there and really has to get those foundations right. because if your inventory is off, if your payroll's way off, you're not going to be successful utilizing those things. We have to get your business on track, get those foundations down, and then free up the time to help educate you to make that process so you're not a four-time failure.
In theory. We're talking about in theory.
I would say, you know, in the first 3 months, we can probably make a splash of some kind. That's more of a one-time benefit. And then as you start getting to 6 to 12, that's when the long-term effects come in play. And when we start seeing owners getting a grasp for it on their own, you know, we'll be talking to these people weekly for like the first 3-6 months. And then suddenly it's every other week. And then suddenly it's monthly, you know, and because they've got, again, pharmacies aren't as complicated as people think they are. You know, we receive an order, we fulfill an order, we sell an order, right? And we have to get as much of those orders as we can. So we have patients, right? And we need to maximize our patients and get more of them. We have drug cost, which is typically 80% of our costs. And we need to figure out how to buy that a little bit better and not have too much of it sitting on their shelf and not in our pocket. Right?
Right.
And then we need to do that efficiently so that we're not paying all of our dollars to our employees. Now, certainly our employees are important, but we can't pay. We have to take something home or else we can't service the community. And we have to look out for our families as well. So, you know, if you get those three things right, starts getting a little easier. And so, you know, don't overcomplicate it. Let's pick one of those things and do it a little bit better and master it. And so it, you know, my dad always used to talk about, you know, taking little steps. And he tells this story about my sister, and he would go and he told her to go clean her room. And 2 hours later, he hadn't heard anything going on, no walking around upstairs. No. So he goes upstairs and he's like, it was a complete disaster. And he goes, Adrian, what have you been doing? And she goes, well, I took, you know, remember those troll dolls? And the trolls have come back around, right? She had about 25 of these.
Yeah.
And she had put them in order from height and combed their hair. And she's like, I'm cleaning my room.
I did it.
He had to give her the core of what he actually meant by that. And so you have to concentrate on the things that are, you know, important to running your business. Just like, what is the important things of cleaning your room? It's not putting the dolls in order by height. It is taking the clothes and putting them in the hamper.
At what age do guys turn where it's going to be hard to change their mind? How old would somebody be that would hire you? And I imagine it switches, but I imagine at some point you're like, most 87-year-olds don't call us because they don't really plan on changing that much. What's your average age of your customers signing the bottom line?
Customers are younger, 30s, 40s. When you're younger, you're a lot more motivated to change and adapt and innovate, and you're excited.
Right.
Our average is probably in that late 30s. I've never actually looked at it, Mike, but I would guess it's late 30s, early 40s. I think when people get into their late 50s, 60s, you know, at that point, they're just like, if I'm going to make all these changes, I might as well just sell it to a young person that wants to make the changes. Now, I don't know that that's the right choice, because if you can make those changes and you have everything running really well, that makes your business a lot more valuable.
There is no golden rule on it. You know, I have the younger customers that are extremely hard to bring new ideas to because they think they know better than we do. They know computers. They don't need me to help them with that. And then you have the older customers that, you know, they're looking at, and maybe it took a little more convincing, but, you know, they want to leave a legacy for their son who's about to finish, or their daughter who's about to finish pharmacy school. And they know that they need to clean it up to hand them, you know, not a train wreck, I guess you could say. And so, you know, we have people all across, but yeah, you know, Owen, I would second what you said, probably in that 36 to 40.
The odd part about that, Mike, is for years it was almost all 30-ish. Probably in the last year, we're getting more and more people you know, late 40s, 50s, who have decided this is my business and I'm going to have it for the next 10 years and I need to find someone who's willing to teach me how to do this properly. And I think that's maybe our brands just getting out there more.
I know I'm in this situation where I didn't have to look at my accounting stuff that closely because it's like, all right, I'm making money. I don't really have to budget that well because there's enough money around. And as long as my taxes are correct once a year, I'm good with that. I'm not really going to use my reports to probably cut a lot. I'm, you know, with enough money, I'll keep a little cushion in the inventory. I'll keep some cushion in the employees. Because the margin was there, most pharmacists were really good at the seat of their pants. They could tell within percentage of the inventory, and they knew about how many prescriptions they were filling. They were living at the pharmacy, basically, and they could almost feel the breeze blow and know that something was changing. Now, that's not true. Now you need the benefit of the computers for the inventory and for the, and I'll mark what the hell I'll say it, for the sink, you know, and you know, you need that now. Or if you had different stores and you weren't living there, you know.
Well, and you're also generating revenue that isn't prescriptions. I mean, we've got MTMs that we're being paid for. And I mean, we've got all these other income sources that are coming in that aren't just prescriptions. I mean, we're selling other stuff and we're moving more and more and more and more to that. And so to your point, Mike, it isn't simple. And also, I think business has changed a little bit. I mean, I know that when my partner's dad, I mean, he lived for work. I mean, he basically would go to work, go to the country club, network with doctors, go back to work. I mean, he was there 24/7. Well, people want to own businesses to have freedom now. And in order to do that, you've got to run things differently. And it also means that you've got to squeeze more dollars out in order to, you know, have a salary without you working the bench every single hour. So
guys of the past might have been able to say, I know I did this many prescriptions. That's my metric. Here, it's like I didn't see some of the stuff that happened behind the scenes of the MTMs or this or that. So I don't have that seat of the pants as much, right? Because there's unseen items, I suppose.
Right. Yeah, I know. You're getting paid from different ways. And the really good pharmacies are getting paid from many different ways, right? I mean, they're figuring out how to get paid for diabetes education and weight loss programs, and they're selling vitamins, and they're doing all this stuff. It's not just, hey, I filled 200 prescriptions. I'm good. You've got to do all those other things to make money, and you need to know, are you doing them? Are you getting the money? It's not as simple as it once was.
I knew you'd fit weight loss in there somehow.
Yeah, another thing that I see getting, you know, with the initial calls, you know, asking, you know, why people contact us, you know, they've taken initial steps. You know, they maybe haven't failed three times, but they've done it and they failed once. Right. And I'm not going to say that word again. But, you know, they tried at something different to implement one of these new things. And, you know, we'll get into the conversation. And turns out, you know, they spent 30 grand on a pharmacy system. And, you know, the analogy I use is, you know, a lot of these people, I tell them, you know, you bought a Ferrari and you were driving 30 miles an hour in the left-hand lane. You were not utilizing it. And so, you know, when you shed light on that as well, that, you know, you don't have to go buy something. This stuff is there. We just need to show you how to utilize it. You see the attitude change and people get excited. Like, I didn't know I could do that. Is a great starting point for me and for us.
You know where I also see that? Perpetual inventory. Oh, because I mean, owners, they're like, oh, this perpetual. I've always managed my inventory by eye and it's always been fine. Well, you know, we say perpetual inventory is not a maybe you should do it. If you're not doing it, you're costing yourself hundreds of thousands of dollars. But what happens is they start it and they just expect system to do it. Well, no, you have to have a process for checking in your orders, for doing reversals, for checking your quantities and making sure the quantities are correct. So they fail because they don't have the small things that they need to put in place to make it easy. The other thing you'll see is they'll buy stuff from secondary wholesalers and never check it in. Right? So, well, yeah, your perpetual's off. You didn't tell it that you received 100 of this pills. It has no idea that you had those. So now it's all off. And so, you know, they have to change the ways that they were doing things.
You're not utilizing an NDC verification or, you know, an icon type, you're going to be off. They grabbed the wrong bottle.
But to your point, Mike, 10 years ago, you didn't have to do that.
No, it wasn't so much of that. And now it's like, and this is counter to what we're talking about. And I'm all for computers and stuff. It's like years ago, let's say you had a state audit of sales tax 20 years ago. And they'd say, all right, well, show us your inventory. How much did you buy last month on over-the-counter things? We'll multiply that by 12 and then multiply it by 0.04. And that's how much you should have paid. Let's see. Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, and now it's like, show us how many packs of gum you sold 8 years ago between 11 and, you know, 1 p.m. or something. And because the computer's there, everything's, you know, more expected to be there. But it's good. It's real good overall.
Oh, yeah. The technology's fantastic. I mean, it makes things more efficient. I mean, hey, you know what it has done, though, Mike, if you flip that to the other side? I mean, frankly, audits have gotten easier. I mean, it's not like you're going to look for signatures. They're in the computer.
No, that's true.
Prescriptions are scanned in. They're all there. So, I mean, I remember audits, and I'm not even that old, that, you know, people will get called back $20,000, $30,000. And I know that still happens, but for the average retail pharmacy, that doesn't happen anymore because it's all right there. Like, I mean, it's like here. There it is. There's their file. It's all in one picture. So there's benefits to it. And I think sometimes it's good to talk to people and go, okay, 10 years ago, what changes occurred that you thought were a pain? Well, you fought through those. These aren't any different. They're just different changes. And us as small businesses or any business that there is, you've got to constantly be changing. You have to. And you've got to, almost as an owner, start embracing that and find the people that can show you how to make that change just a little easier.
No, you've got to change and you got to stop bitching because it doesn't do any good. And like we already talked about, I mean, you know, Apple could have bitched because someone came out with a smaller iPod. You got to find the holes.
Mike, my dad told Mark a story.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to do this. Okay.
Earlier today. And so he's telling a story about golfing with his pharmacy school buddies. And so every year they have this annual outing. And there's like four of them that are, you know, real close. And they happen to all be pharmacy owners. And so he's like, for the past 10 years, we go up there and basically we just bitch about PBMs and how much things have changed. And he's like, we sit around, drink some beers, and, you know, we talk about the good old days, blah, blah, blah. And then we get all up and we walk to our BMWs. Yes. So it ain't that bad.
It's the truth. It's the truth. You know, there was enough spread there. Now it's like people are a little bit more anxious because you see a lot of closings now. But yeah, you're right. Everybody's hopping in their BMW.
But if you do things right, you can still drive that BMW away.
That's one of the initial hurdles, is that mindset, is people calling in, you know, should I even open a pharmacy? My friends told me that this is pointless. It's just going, you know, in the opposite direction, you know, and that's not the case. You know, there are a lot of pharmacies who are extremely successful, but they're embracing change. They're adopting the new technologies and embracing it. And, you know, sometimes success comes through failure. Still back on your challenge, but, you know, just trying these new things and having the mindset, it makes a huge shift in the process, especially when we come in, because you know, you have to be receptive. One of the things I tell people is, you know, if you read the message boards and you know, obviously with pharmacies, you know, bitching kind of thing, yeah, there's a lot of bitching. If you read any of the message boards and forums, yeah, I stopped looking at it. I stopped listening to, I won't say which, but I stopped listening to the news on my way to work. I listened to, you know, Good to Great for the 300th time on, you know, just things that charge me as opposed to things that have me, I don't want to walk into work and be like, the whole world's going to hell. You know, so surrounding yourself with people who have a similar mindset, you know, that are thinking positively and adopting those new things and who have done it.
What kind of person could you imagine having as a client and saying, this guy's a pain in the ass, I want to get rid of him? I know this is hypothetical because you love all your customers. Who would you find it hard to deal with in your position that someone says, I want to be your customer, but then it's like you found out that this personality is not one that you jibe with? And it might be different for both of you.
Just someone who's being mean to you, or, you know, hey, you tell them the truth and they say, well, you're an idiot. Or, why did you tell me that? Oh, listen, I'm just trying to tell you the truth. You pay me to give you advice.
This hypothetical person actually hired you, but then doesn't want to hear it, right?
Right. It's one thing to, you know, have a friendly argument. It's another thing just to be mean.
Right.
Though we don't really come across this very often. I mean, most pharmacy owners are pretty nice. Let's be honest. Pharmacists want to serve people. So they tend to be fairly nice people.
And they've had to deal with a lot of people and with a lot of problems. Unless they're burned out, they're probably able to handle themselves.
You know, I don't mind if you don't always listen, but you're paying me to tell the truth, and I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to give you the straight answer and, you know, appreciate that. Don't be mean because I said you need to do this, this, and this.
And I think I would second that. It's the attitude of the person. I mean, they're paying us to give honest opinions. And it's not, you know, often just my opinion. It's Owen, it's Rich, it's Tim, it's the team. You know, if I'm not 100% certain, you know, we collaborate, and that's one thing that we're great at. And then you go back and deliver that message and they don't like it, so they don't do it. At that time, I'm spinning my tires. You know, I can stay on the phone, I can do as many conference calls, whatever. But if you're not going to take that advice and actually use it, honestly, I would rather work with somebody who is in way worse shape but wanted to truly change. Yeah, that's rewarding for me when somebody says, wow, that makes a difference. They just think that there's an insurmountable problem. And you show them, like, here's three clicks in your pharmacy system. Boom. And they, like, that made their day, and that makes my day. So, you know, those are the people that I want to work with.
So what you're describing, if it happened, it may be as somebody who was feeling they wanted a little help at one point, but maybe the next day is just a little defensive for some reason.
Or they just, you know, we give them advice and they're like, well, that's just not even possible. And you guys, I hired you to do this and blah, blah, blah. And it's like,
well, you know, I would do that with Sync if I got you guys on. I'm warning you. If I did that, I'd want that in my contract right away, that I get to be an asshole when it comes to that.
Well, at least you're upfront about it.
Yeah, Mike. That's right. That's right.
And, you know, people, you know, they lose their temper, and you're sometimes telling them some news that, you know, they really don't want to hear, and, you know, news that impacts not just them, but the business, the community, their families. So, you know, there are times where we have to deliver less than favorable news, but it's all about, you know, the reaction to that is, you know, somebody can have, you know, I call it a temper tantrum.
Right.
But, you know, then they've called back and apologized. Yeah. And you were right.
That's fine. I mean, if people have bad days, it's the consistent jerk that I have a problem with. Yeah. But I mean, honestly, that doesn't happen often, Mike. I mean, most people are. I mean, especially when you're hiring professionals like us. I mean, for the most part, people will come to us, want help, and are willing to listen. And hey, listen, we're not trying to say we're right all the time either.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. I mean, we're not geniuses. So, you know, we're just relaying experiences and looking at it. You know, we have no emotion tied to these businesses, right? None. And so we don't know the employees. We don't know the community. We're looking at it objectively and providing objective advice. And so we do need feedback from the client to go, hey, you know, here's this situation. Here's what's unique about it. What if I did it this way? So we can talk through it as a team. I mean, we're your advisors.
And I've said this for years that, you know, independent pharmacies are independent for a reason. You know, I can come up with, you know, what I think and maybe you agree is the perfect workflow operation. And the person beside you says, oh, that's totally wrong. Why would you ever do it like that? And for their business, it might be. And so that's where we have to come in and analyze, you know, the logistics, the staff, so many things play a part in making that work. And you know, we just always have to go in with that in mind too, that each business is unique and it's like your child, you know. So coming in, and I'm not trying to attack it, I'm trying to keep a kid out of prison.
Separate question for both of you. If someone said that you were not allowed in the pharmacy anymore and not allowed to do this for pharmacy, but you have this business model set up of knowing inventory and knowing employee wages, you know, and knowing profits and things like that, but you couldn't use it for pharmacy. Separately, what other field do you think would be really cool to do this with?
Oddly, my neighbor owns 4 pharmacies, my next door neighbor. A whole other topic, but yes, in the same area as us, he owns pharmacies and he's about my age. We talk about this all the time. It's professionals. So the HVAC company, the plumber, the electrician, because they have the same mentality as a pharmacist. They are a technician, right? They're good at fixing things. They don't understand the business side. You see so many of these electricians where, you know, you can't get them to call you back.
Right.
Well, that's a simple fix. Hire a customer service company. They're a dime a dozen. Or hire someone at $15 an hour to call people back, and you will have twice as much business. So I know it's a similar kind of problem where, you know, pharmacists are great pharmacists. They got into pharmacy school to actually avoid business. Okay. And so did the electrician, so did the plumber. So I just think that there's a whole market there to teach people how to operate their businesses a little bit better.
I agree. And I don't know if you're familiar with this book. There's a book out by Michael Gerber.
The E-Myth. E-Myth is one of my favorite books.
That's a great book.
Oddly, he has the E-Myth accounting, because accountants can't run their own business right.
Yes, he's got that. And I think he's got like dentist office or something like that too.
Dentist, doctors.
He teaches that even if you are the only person in the business, you've got to get this written down, pretend like you're wearing 16 different hats, label all those hats, label everything. So when you do start growing, you know that.
If you've never read the E-Myth, by the way, as a pharmacy owner, you should go buy it today.
Yeah, it's a great book. It's a real fun read.
I see that in plumbers and electricians and painters.
Oh, it's terrible. The one thing that really gets to me, though, is once you get someone like that, then they go too far the other way and they come in and the first thing they want to do is sign you up for their yearly maintenance thing. And if you give me 4 stars on this, my boss is going to send me to on a cruise. So please do this and that. And it gets too far like into this marketing crap. And I wish, just like you're saying, it would someone just give me some good business without taking it too far.
As those words came out of your mouth, Owen, I was kind of letting the air out, because I was going to say almost the same thing. I went through the process of building a house, and it was the most convoluted, disconnected process that I've ever experienced. And I found myself, you know, all my vacation, all my weekends, before work, after work, checking things, and, you know, it was the left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing. And surely there has to be a better way. Surely there's technology. And I was getting, you know, draws for payment was hand scribbled notes for, you know, Best Buy gift cards, because that's how they paid the one guy. And it's just in my opinion, a very overly complicated, flawed process that could be really improved through technology. So that does include your plumbers, your electricians, keeping everybody on the same page. Get everybody on a Monday board or something at least.
You guys are familiar with Monday, and this is a product that used to be called DePulse until a couple years ago. They changed it to Monday. It's called Monday, which is a terrible name because it's very confusing when you're talking to someone to, well, we'll do it on Monday. And it's kind of like Abbott and Costello, like who's on first, you know, that routine.
Very
and
much.
Might be too young for that.
No, I know that one.
Yeah, but just getting something like that, and we've even toyed with that at the pharmacy of having just like a call center, you know, and just, yeah, hiring some college kid and just teach them that board. And boy, that could do so much for businesses, you know. Well, Mark and Owen, golly, thanks for talking to you guys. That was really interesting.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
Yeah, well, thanks for having us. This was fun.
Yeah.
I actually just enjoyed the conversation.
When I first started this, I said, my goal is to make this interesting and entertaining. That's what I enjoy to do. If I'm driving with someone in the car somewhere up to, you know, my cottage or something, I would just like to do that. And I've never made this a goal to cover every aspect of something and having to hit all the points, and certainly not talking about medicine. I don't have any cells left for that. No, I've always made it just something that I wanted to do and not cover everything and not teach, not educate, just you know, just have a conversation. I forget sometimes I'm doing this. I just like the ability to meet some really neat guys and gals like yourself.
That's the beautiful thing about independent pharmacy is, you know, that's what we get to do.
Yeah. Independent pharmacy is great. I mean, I was on this school board years ago, and we would talk stuff over and over and over for months. And then finally the priest would come, like one board meeting, he'd say, you know, basically, well, that's stupid, we're not doing that. It's like, we just talked about this for 4 months. And, you know, the great thing about the independent pharmacy and a lot of independent businesses is you can decide overnight if you want to switch your same day delivery to next day delivery and then really play it up for the antibiotics and pain medicine and make those people feel extra special because they're getting it the same day.
No, you have that freedom to make choices.
Well, it was a real pleasure, you guys. I wish you all the best. I'm looking forward to keeping in touch.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Sounds good, guys. Take care. You've been listening to the Business of Pharmacy podcast with me, your host, Mike Kelzer. Please subscribe for all future episodes.